Well, good morning again. I'd first of all just like to say a big thank you to you, because this church in the past has been very generous towards the work of Tear Fund. And you're never going to meet the people that have been helped by the money that you've given. And so I'm here to say thank you very much on behalf of all of them. And maybe one day you'll meet them in heaven. Do you enjoy food shopping? I love eating. I don't know about you. I'm good at that bit. I'm not so keen on... Even though that has collapsed, Christ has come to give us abundant life. It missed me. So, I'm not so keen on shopping, you know, go to the shop, find somewhere to park, don't you? You go inside the supermarket, they've moved the aisles around, you can't find the thing that you're looking for, you know what I mean? But the thing that I really hate, I don't know about you, is I get home and then I've got to unpack it and put it, I don't know why, that just really gets me. I just hate unpacking the shopping. And in fact, I went shopping yesterday and I left the bags in the kitchen for about 2 hours before I summoned up the enthusiasm. Of course, as we were learning with the children, if you lived in Malawi, then 80% of people in Malawi do not go shopping, they grow their own food. So for them, a shopping bag would be this. And I wouldn't be holding it above my head because it'd be weighing 50 kilogram. A 50 kilogram maize sack is equivalent to a shopping bag for them. It's about enough to feed a family of five for a month. That's two meals a day. No variety. Making this. But two meals a day of this that they're glad of. And sadly, for some people, even two meals a day is only a dream. I mean, there's millions of people in the world that would love to have my problem about unpacking the shopping, isn't there? And the horrific truth is that one in nine people in our world go to bed hungry every day. One in nine. And if you look around your congregation here and you said, okay, every ninth one of you is hungry, what would we want to do about it? I'm sure we'd do something. Wasn't it great to see your lovely, confident children singing out? That was fantastic, wasn't it? And of course, it's children that are the worst affected when there's not enough food. They don't grow. They can't learn. Their whole lives are affected by the fact that they didn't have enough to eat in childhood. God cannot want this, can he? This cannot be what he's got in mind. But the problem is so huge. And the problem was there when I was a child, and it's still there now. I am moving into the older category. And we are God's church. And deep down we know that we have got a role to play here in dealing with this problem. But what is that role, is the question. What can we do? Well, we had read to us the story of Elisha and the widow. And in that story we read that a godly person, the wife of one of the company of the prophets, was in desperate, dire need. In debt, and her children about to be taken into slavery. Can you imagine anything as horrendous as that? And the sad truth is that that is the case for many people around the world today. Their children get stolen into slavery. She was absolutely desperate. So she asked Elijah, look, my husband was one of your company. Help me, please help me. So if you'd been Elijah, what would you have done? The obvious thing, surely, is to say, okay, how much do you owe? Let me pay your debt. I'll pay your debt. Or, if you didn't have enough money, say, okay, let me do some fundraising. Let me talk to the other prophets. Let me get some money together. Let me pay your debt. I definitely don't want your children to be taken into slavery. That can't be right. But actually, he didn't do that, strangely. He said, "What do you have in your house?" Odd. And of course, she says, "Well, I've got nothing. I've just got this small jar of oil." So God, through Elijah, does something with the thing that she's got, the small jar of oil that she's got. And he says, okay, go around and ask the neighbours for jars. Okay, so put yourself in this widow's position. You're asking someone to relieve your debt, and that person says, go and ask your neighbour for some jars. Go and ask all your neighbours for some jars, not just a few, lots of jars, get lots of jars. I can see in me a slight feeling of, I'll go and ask somebody else. I'll go and I won't help. I won't do that. But she's desperate. She does it. She goes and gets the jars. And then, phew, relief. Elijah has said, go into your home and shut the door. So nobody needs to see. She's had the slight humiliation of asking for the jars, but no one's going to see what happens next. Takes the jars in to her house. And Elijah says, pour the oil from your jar into these jars. Crazy. But she does it. She pours. And 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 she says to her son, another jar, please. And he says, well, there's no more jars now. How amazing. What do you think she was thinking? I'll bet she was praising God at that point. God had performed a miracle for her. And who else knew about it? All her neighbours. Her neighbours had been a part of it. She hadn't had the jars. There wouldn't have been any oil, anywhere to pour the oil. She wouldn't have got the oil. The whole community was involved. The whole community must have been praising God at that point. How much oil did God provide? Like, just enough? Just enough to pay off her debt? No, because Elijah says to her at the end, use this oil to pay off your debt, and what's left over after that, use that to live on. That God had provided for this woman not just what she needed, but abundantly, provided in abundance what she needed. And that's who our God is, isn't it? So is that a story from long ago that could never happen today? We've been thinking about Malawi. So no one here has been to Malawi? No? Okay, well, I will tell you a little bit about Malawi. Malawi is a country that offers a host of delights with its unspoilt beaches, welcoming villages, majestic mountains and plateaus. That's according to the tourist board, and I'm sure that's true. I'm sure it's a very beautiful country. But for all this beauty and the warmth that they have there, it's also a country where 45% of the population, almost half, don't have food security. In fact, last April, the president of Malawi declared a national state of emergency. The harvest had been the worst in decades. There'd been flooding in 2015 that had destroyed the harvest, and then that was followed in 2016 by drought that destroyed most of the harvest. So I want to tell you a story about two different women living in Malawi. The first one is called Sylvia, and she lives in a village called Chirambi. There's 21 households living in this village. It's very rural. And Sylvia remembers when times were good in the village. She remembers when she was a girl, the rains always came. You could rely on the time that they would come, and the crops grew well. But now when she looks around her village, she sees it destitute because the rains don't come regularly. And when they come as a flood and destroy things because the climate has changed. So when you hear scientists arguing about the pros and cons of, is global warming a myth? Is climate change really happening? This isn't an academic argument. This is having a devastating effect on the lives of people living in poverty around the world. And whether or not mankind has caused climate change, and the consensus, of course, is among scientists that we have, it's still having this effect on those people. You see, when Sylvia was young, the farming techniques had been known for generations. They worked very well. But now, following the drought, they don't work so well. And when times got hard for Sylvia and her family, unfortunately, her husband left, leaving her with her four children. And she found herself with one bag of maize left, which should last 1 month if you're careful, but with 6 months until the next harvest. So while these months go by, she is struggling desperately to feed her family, to keep her children alive, to prevent them being sold into slavery. And while she's surviving, no, she can't really think about anything else other than where to get food from. She's not living an abundant life. She's not using the gifts and the creativity that God has given her. She's not able to appreciate the beautiful country of Malawi. She's just focusing on feeding. And I'm sure that if Sylvia was here today in your church, that you would want to help her. Because hunger steals people's lives from them while they're still alive, and then it kills them. But there is some good news, because I'm going to tell you the story of somebody else. Now, she lives in a village about the same size as Sylvia's. Her name's Polly, and it's about an hour's drive away from Sylvia's village, and she's got a very different story to tell. The farming techniques that have been used in Sylvia's and Polly's villages are no longer working, but there are methods that can deal with drought conditions much better. Polly's local church got in touch with Tear Fund Partner and asked them to help them learn how to use farming techniques that will work in drought conditions. Now, these farming techniques, I'm not an agriculturalist, so apologies to anybody who's here. It's to do with just mulching around and watering just the individual plants as they grow. And this apparently means that the water supply is retained very close to the plant and doesn't get wasted, so the water is used very wisely. And this farming technique has had the most incredible effect in that village. The yields have been literally 10 times what they were without using this technique. It's had an astonishing effect. So when Polly asks for help because she hasn't got enough food, when Sylvia asks for help, what the local church has done in Polly's case is not give her food, but has said, well, what have you got? And what Polly had got was her farm, her land. And they have made the land that was just giving one-tenth give 10 times that amount now, just like Elisha did with the oil. But they've done more than that as well, because they encouraged the people in Polly's village to get together and to form a financial loans cooperative. So they meet together every week, they talk about what they're going to do, and they put in tiny amounts, and I'm talking pennies, in every week, what they can afford, into a central pot. So that over a period of months, that small amount of money is built up to enough to enable one of the members to borrow that money and to use it. And Polly did that one time, and she said, well, you know, what had I got? I've got the farm, now it's yielding abundantly. What else have I got? Well, I can cook, I know how to make donuts. And the thing that Polly did was she took the loan, she bought some oil, she bought some flour, and she set up a small donut business in the nearest town, cooking and selling donuts. And so more money started to come in, so she could pay more into the cooperative. And others have set up small businesses, and Tear Fund Partners have helped their church learn how to set up and operate small businesses in that village. So now Polly is building a house of bricks. Her husband has started to train as a teacher so that he can teach in the local school. Her children are fine and well-fed. They've got school uniforms. They're attending school. They have an abundant life. And yet it's no different from the situation that pertained in Sylvia's village. There was no more than that. Not only have they overcome their hunger issues in that village, but they have found the solution to their own problem, and they started to believe in themselves. You see, the outside help that came to them was very, very minimal. It was actually just teaching techniques. It was a small amount of help, but they have turned it into a massive, abundant gift of life. See, the thief of hunger and drought comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And because the villagers have seen that the church cared and that the church is prepared to work with them on their problems, many, many people have also come to a spiritual fullness of life, have come to understand that God does care and come to take an interest in who he is and to learn to love him for themselves and to find Christ as their saviour. So not only have they been fed materially, but they're being fed spiritually. So it's excellent news, isn't it? Now, when Jesus came, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I just feel like, yes, this is an example where the church, the gates of hell are not prevailing against this church. How did the church know what to do? Well, it was Tier Fund Partner that taught them what to do to learn about farming and business techniques. But it's the church that are doing it. It's not like Tier Fund come in as a Western agency and say, let me give you food, you know, let me farm your land. The people are doing it for themselves. So it's just like Elijah saying, what have you got? Okay, what you've got, that's what we'll use to do things with. And that means that the church are not the people are not dependent on others coming in and then maybe going when economic situation changes or people get bored. The church is always going to be there. How long has this church been here in Blackheath? 180 years. Okay, and 180 years' time, it will still be here. And the same is true for these churches in Malawi. They're there. They're going to be there in 50 years, in 100 years, in 200 years. They're still going to be there. So the idea that the source of help comes from them is so much better than it coming from outsiders. And that's really Tier Fund's vision. Tier Fund's vision is to be like a catalyst that empowers local churches to meet their own needs and to link up churches here in the West with churches who are in financial need to be a catalyst to them rather than stepping in and doing the work themselves. But of course, we have to remember that for every success story like Polly's, there is Sylvia, who's still waiting to start her success story, and many, many others like her. Sylvia actually said, I'm not without hope. God is good. She's a Christian. So I believe that one day I will get a breakthrough. And it is true that families like hers can become families like Polly's. Not just feeding their families, but living a life of abundance. But we need you to be part of that story as well. Hunger steals ambition, but the church gives abundantly. Have you heard of the preacher Bill Hybels, preacher and writer? He once said, the church is the hope of the world, and certainly in Malawi at the moment, it's being the hope of the people. How much do you think it costs to train somebody like Sylvia or Polly in these new farming and business techniques? If you sent your children to university and had to pay for them. So what do you reckon it costs? Obviously it'll be less in Malawi because, you know, things are less expensive there, but what do you reckon it costs? £100 seem like a reasonable amount? I know I'm paying £9,000 for my youngest to go to university. £100, no. £50, no. £10, yeah. £10. It costs £10 to train a person to feed their family for life and to lead an abundant life. I think it's quite hard to think of a better use of £10. I don't know about you. What could you get more? How could you ever get more? That gift of £10 is like the widow's oil, isn't it? It keeps on giving. It keeps on pouring out. It keeps on pouring out into people's lives. So whatever hunger is taken away from people, the church can restore. And we are part of that church. And so, unashamedly, as part of God's church myself and as part of God's church yourselves, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning, an invitation to join in as we empower the local churches to release more people from hunger and to bring them to abundant life. So you can help us in providing the money that's needed to do the training. For Sylvia to be able to feed her family, she'll need at least 12 bags of maize like this. This year she harvested 4. If you were to give £10 a month, over a whole year, that would mean 12 families would be able to have this farm training and grow enough food and have a surplus that they can sell like Polly to move on to other things. So scattered around the church on chairs are some forms like this. And if you feel that that's something that you would like to do, then please fill it in. There's some pens at the table at the back. Come and talk to me afterwards. Give it to me today. That would be great. While you have a little think and a pray about that and wonder if God is calling you to this, we're just going to have a look at some images of Malawi. Giving regularly is so helpful to organisations like Tear Fund. Just like you, they have to budget, and if they promise they're going to help somebody, they know they've got the money coming in from regular givers. It's really helpful. Just pray now as you watch these images.
When the day was decided to show you no kindness, the shadows have taken the place of the sun. If the ache in your bones is a calling for darkness, hold on.
Pray. God, our loving Heavenly Father, what can we say? You have given us abundant life. We didn't deserve it. You poured yourself out for us and called us to yourself. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. And we thank you for all the material things that you've given us here as well. Lord, we lift up to you Polly, and we pray that you would be with her in her life and that you would continue to encourage her and inspire her. And we lift up Sylvia, and we pray that she would get that opportunity, that breakthrough that she's trusting you for. And Lord, we thank you for the work of Tear Fund and their partners. working with the churches. And we pray that you would strengthen them and that you would build your church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Father, we remember that you have said to us that if we pour ourselves out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then our light will rise. And we will be called the restorer of cities and the repairer of walls. And that's what we want for our church here in this country, Lord. So we pray that you would teach us how to be the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alison. We're going to sing a song that picks up some of the themes there, Beauty for Brokenness. I think we'll miss out the second song, but we'll just sing this one. Maybe we can sing Awake, Awake in Zion at the end. So do stand, our offering will be received at the end of this hymn.